2 Corinthians chapter 5. Well, we're at a point at this time in an ambassador class that we actually went through 18 weeks already. And there are 18 more weeks of this study that we've been doing. And I just want to recap a little bit over a period of time for those that are maybe listening through taping or here for the first time in a way. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And you got to remember this. The first lesson, in fact, was if you got your notes, the fact that you can always, there was a quote, you can always borrow brains, but you can't borrow character or edification of doctrine in your soul. You build the edification in your soul from what? Sound doctrine. Okay? You can always borrow knowledge, right, from people. You know, y'all, many of you know what I do on a voluntary basis, and there's a lot of things I'm ignorant to, and I'll be the first one to say, hey, I don't know, but you know. So I surround myself with people that know some things, and that's what I do. You know, if I don't know, I'll find out, you know, what you know, and you got the experience, and also I can borrow that, but you can't borrow character. That's you. That's who you really are. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to try to go, if it may take two Sundays to get through this, if it does, we got until the rapture to take us away from here. So that's why I'm never in no big hurry to get through something fast. We take our time. We study. That's who we are here at Canton Grace Fellowship. We want to be able to train others as they train. You know, you are to be able to be equipped when you leave here and in your own personal ministry to understand that you have the Bible, that you're saved, that you have the Bible, and you can confidently share that with people. You know, Bob was sharing at the Bible store the other day that he was talking about the Bible, and they was buying an ESV, and he was like, he said they understood some things that he believed, but it's just like, how can you get this type of Bible if you believe the same thing I believe? So, you know, that's when the rubber meets the road, when you really find out where people are. There's a lot of dispensationalists out there, you know that. You know, everybody's a dispensation to one degree or the other. You know, unless you put your forks, your knives, your spoons, right? You read the newspaper. We know that. You don't go to sports to find obituaries and, you know, comic strips for the political and things like that. You rightly divide the newspaper. So when it comes to the Word of God, you should also understand how to rightly divide the Word of God, and it makes perfectly sense. We're as ambassadors, once you trust Christ Jesus died for your sins and buried and rose again, you are an ambassador for Christ. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us a ministry of what? Reconciliation. To wit, what is this reconciliation? What is this ministry? To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Now, as ambassadors of Christ, you have a ministry. Okay? It's just not Canton Grace Fellowship's ministry. This is where you come and worship corporately and grow corporately. And we understand some things together. But in your personal ministry, you have a ministry. And that's reconciliation. Okay? That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. And Philippians chapter 1, verse 28. Philippians chapter 1, verse 28. And if you want to keep your hands there in 2 Corinthians, 2 Philippians chapter 1, and many of you have these notes already. If you don't, then I'm trying to go slow enough to where you can just jot some things down.
You said as ambassadors for Christ, we have what did you say?
We have a ministry of reconciliation. You personally have a ministry of who you are in Christ Jesus. And many of you go out and share this. You understand that, hey, the guy that I'm rubbing elbows with may not understand the dispensation, may not understand that they're saved by grace through faith plus nothing else. And if they do understand that, they may not understand the knowledge of rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's where God says all men to be saved and come what? To the knowledge of the truth. So this is an educational process that we all come to understand, you know, and build and grow. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 28 says, "And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an even token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake, having the same conflict which ye saw in me and now here to be in me." Okay? Not only were we giving the benefit of salvation through belief, that you say by grace through faith plus nothing else, but we're giving the opportunity on behalf of Christ to suffer for His sake. You're going to suffer for His sake. Okay? That's not losing your job or, you know, losing your house, that type of thing. You're going to suffer because of the ministry. Think spiritual things here, okay? As ambassadors in an enemy country. You realize that now? That you are an ambassador in an enemy country? Bob talks about a time when he was in Spain. He was a representative of the United States government there, whether he realized it or not, in a foreign country. That's it. And then he can correct me if I'm wrong. They tell you when you go to a foreign country, even in your military, that when you get if you get in trouble, the first place you need to get to is the embassy. You get there. You know, back on your base or something, you know. You better not stay in enemy territory, because once they got a hold of you, you're theirs. And so if you think about who you are for Christ's sake as ambassadors in an enemy country, it's foreign out there. It really is. And a lot of people don't realize that. They think once you trust Christ died for your sins, bear witness, oh, everything's hunky-dory. You know, sing kumbaya, everybody's going to get along. But it's not, is it, guys, gals? Y'all been down that road. You know, you come out of those systems and religious systems that just fills your mind with emptiness. And that, you know something? They believe they're actually right. And you believed you was actually right when you was in there until you woke up one day and you're just like, wait a minute, something's not right here. If God says this here and says that there, and when you share that with somebody, like yesterday I was sharing some things that God's with peace with the world right now. He's not coming down with wrath and drawing lines and swallowing people and all that. And these ladies looked at me like, you know, get away from me. I said, but think about it. The Apostle Paul, every epistle that he wrote, it says grace and peace. Grace and peace. He's instructing us through His Word what He's doing in the dispensation of grace. And once you understand that, and it's, so 2 Corinthians 5:18, once again, who hath reconciled us? That's the body of Christ. See? 2 Corinthians 19. When we read down through there, God was in Christ reconciling the world. That's the lost people. Follow me? He was in the world. God was in Christ reconciling the world. The point here is God has defined the commission of dispensation of grace for His body. God has left us on this planet for one reason and one reason only. You know what it is? To be ambassadors of Christ, okay, yes. To represent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and carry His message to the world, the lost people. You know? That's what we pay people to do, to go to Japan, and they don't do it for free, do they? When they assign you to be an ambassador, there's usually a little paycheck with that. And guess what? If you don't do the job, what do? You're coming home. That's true. You know, And that's what, and you think about that, it gets you out of there. You know, and if he was thinking, and sometimes they don't pay you to think, you don't look at that situation, but some higher up people say, uh-oh, they're pulling the guy out, something's going down. And that's us. Yeah. Yeah. Our ministry, the work of the ministry will be done, and the results of your ministry are not your responsibility if you think about it. Believers are spokespersons of Christ. Okay? We also talked about the Great Commission. Our Great Commission. You know, I like how JJ say our Great Commission went out of commission, if you will, you know, that type of thing. What Great Commission do you know of people tries to put you under?
Kingdom of all.
Go ye to all the world.
Go ye, yeah. The commission that he commissioned, how many?
12.
And people will tell you you're part of that 12 and you need to go out in all the world and do this. God never told you to do that. Your first ministry is your home and your family. And this is what God is doing today, our Great Commission, and what He has for us today through Paul's My Gospel. That's where you find your Great Commission. Okay?
How do we interpret that? Go into all the world and preach the Kingdom Gospel. That's what they're talking about.
Yeah, the Kingdom Gospel. And we know that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 16 says, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16 says, For though I preach the gospel, 1 Corinthians 9, 16, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe unto me if I preach what? Not the gospel. Okay? That's Paul's commission. That's our commission. We have something to preach about. We have something. 9:16.
Yes.
Preach God. Look at verse 17. For if I do this thing, what thing?
Preach the gospel.
Okay. Willingly, I have a reward. Isn't that what we want? Isn't that what we tell our children? If you do this, you can have your phone back. You can have your keys. But if against my will, even if I don't want to do it, even if it's against my will, what does it say? A dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. Whether Paul wanted to do it or not, it's still committed unto him. Whether you want to do it or not, knowing what you understand, it's still committed to you. That's my responsibility here. To make see that those grievous wolves coming through that door and try to change the gospel. You know, you hear me talking about all the time the people that I've come and loved and grew in the ministry. Some of them no longer believe this. And I had a phone call just yesterday from a brother up in Connecticut saying, Edward, how do they get out? Once you understand right division, how in the world do you go back? It's easy. It's really easy if you allow your mind to go back. And you know how you do that? First of all, you get away from Paul's message. First of all, you quit showing distinctions in your preaching and teaching. Okay, follow me? You get away from Pauline truth and you'll fall for anything. Then the next thing you know, they change Bibles. You get these other versions out there, you can preach and believe anything you want to believe. They got a version out there for everything. Everything. So the note on this is that the commission given to Paul to us from our glorified risen Lord and Savior. There will be utterly confusion if you attempt to carry out the Great Commission. If you remember how we went over this, and I'm just recapping some things, okay? So I hope you're refreshing in your mind, because we had 18 weeks of this stuff. I should give you a test today, which I've got test. And many of you that's going through Grace School Bible or will understand you have test, or you can do it, what, audibly, you know? Yes. Yes, thank you. Mark 16, the worldwide revival. Do you go out and do that? Okay. These signs and wonders will follow them that confirmed by the word. You know you don't do that. If you break that down to Baptist, have you ever seen that? Go to Mark 16.
Mark 16.
Yes, Mark 16. But you know what? Something you can get down in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John and get your doctrine out of it, and it's wonderful if you really think about it. It is a wonderful doctrine. It's wonderful teaching, you know. And also, amen. Look at verse 14. Mark 16, 14. Took a little trip. Now that's what?
18:14.
Thank you. I love when I get change back for a certain year. $17.76. That was a good year, wasn't it?
I know. We have the phone number 1776.
You know, and some of the girls you do that to at that cash register, they have no clue what happened in 1814 or 1776. True. Where is that at? Is that down the street here? Look, 16:14. Afterwards, he appeared unto the 12.
11.
Okay, got that? Now, who's not there? Okay, who also is not there?
Paul.
Thank you. Thank you. And he sat at meat and unbraided them and with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which he had seen him after he was risen. Here's that hardened heart again we talked about. Unbelief. He'd been with them, 3.5 years? Taught with them, slept with them, ate with them. And they're in their unbelief. He says up here, and he said unto them, how many is them?
11.
Thank you. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel gospel to every creature. What gospel would that be?
Kingdom.
Amen. And he believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be... You know what religious groups holds on to that verse?
The Jehovah's Witnesses?
No. Think about it. He that believeth and is baptized... Thank you. Baptist, okay? For next verse. And these signs shall follow them that believe. You know who uses this verse?
Pentecostal.
Or?
Apostolic.
Or?
Church of God.
Okay? In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. What group is this? Okay? See how they break that down? And it's not even to them.
Don't they see who he's talking to?
No. Did you?
Well, not that I can't hear.
That's right. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, so I'm not being ugly. I'm just saying, yeah, that all of us was there.
Oh, yes, you were being.
No.
You were
Sir?
I said, oh, yes, you were being ugly.
Well, I'm okay. I can be ugly, but y'all love me enough, you know. But I'm saying, I was there. You know, but look, the Great Commission, Matthew 28, worldwide revival. Okay? After you get them saved, water baptize them, teach them the law of Moses. That's what Matthew 28 is talking about. Okay, do you do that? Do we do that? No, not us. You know the 4W type of things. You win them to Christ, you wash them, you whip them. No, you work them and you whip them. Okay, the 4Ws. Okay, and that's what they're doing. You talk to people all the time. I do too. That's in these big mega churches, and they're being whipped to death. They may not realize it, and they think they're doing it for the glory of Jesus Christ, and in their heart they probably are, but they are being misled. You know, and that's sad. I don't know, brother. I really don't. Yeah.
As a preacher,
yeah.
And they have to do nothing until next Sunday.
Well, like the brother always says, you know, when you pulled up in the churches, you unscrew your head and you put it in a glove box because you don't need it because the preacher's going to do all your thinking for you. I'm glad to see heads on your bodies. You know, I really am because you're thinking, you're challenging, you're studying. That's what God wants you to do because it's our responsibility, okay? It's not on my shoulders. That's why I like about this, you know, this particular message. You know, you got to have a preacher, you got to have a bishop, you know, to oversee some things. But still, it's our responsibility as a whole to get this message out. You know, Luke and Acts, worldwide revival begins at Jerusalem to the Jew first. Mm-hmm. See? It was started there. Excuse me. It was continuing there. And then John 20, worldwide revival. And I will give you the Spirit of God and the power to forgive sins when you go. Do you do that? Mm-hmm. There's some big preachers up. There's a big preachers up the street, goes across, flies a big 747 across these nations and sits there and forgives sins. God told me that type of thing. He's only one person to forgive sins, that's Jesus Christ at the cross. Amen. And if you don't believe that and you believe anything else, you're lost. You know, period. You got to trust that Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again. It's His death that you identified with. It's His burial that you identified with. It's His resurrection that you identify with. And that's what seals you and keeps you forever. Forever.
That's even His faith.
All of the above is confusion when it comes about if you don't rightly divide the word of truth. We work through that. We also work through... Today, all things are God, and has given us a ministry of reconciliation, and has committed to our trust to guard and protect. That's why you get behind a local church, the pillar and ground of the truth. You know, there's internet ministries out there that you can support that teaches the same thing. Praise God, hallelujah. But you need a local church, too, where you can come to. You know, you can sit at home, you know that. You can sit at home right now and teach and read and study and, you know. But where's the corporate, you know, not almost going to say giving, but the love and the kindness and the nurturing that you get from each other?
But you don't have to go to church to be saved.
No, you don't.
I have a friend who believes you have to go to church.
Yeah. But you go to church because you want to go to church so you can understand and rightly divide and grow and nurture, you know. Sherry and I one time said we're going home church, you know, because I got mad at the preacher, you know what I mean. So we said, hey, we're going to try it. Well, I think this one was in Virginia. I think it lasted about one Sunday. The next Sunday is NASCAR. I was at church
doing laundry,
sleeping late, you know, that type of thing. And then you realize, you know something, this is not right. My inner man's not being built up and rooted, and it was just in the flesh. You know, so we went back and just joined right, you know, like we never missed. You know, type of thing. God did not, once again, we're just looking over some notes thing, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 Timothy chapter 6, 2 Timothy chapter 1, you've got the trust of the gospel. In 1 Thessalonians, you got 1 Timothy, it's the faith that you trust and guarded. In 2 Timothy, it's words committed to trust, to keep it. It's committed to you. God did not commit souls amends until our trust. It ain't our responsibility. People tell me all the time, what do you judge me for? You can't judge him. That's God. I said, you know what? I can't judge your soul. I can't judge your soul. That's God's judging. But I can judge your actions. You know, if you see me out here doing this, you may think, oh, son, stay away from that. That type of thing. You know, I'm not being judgmental, but you can judge actions. Angels, rather the sound words, the gospel, the faith, that's what we're committed to. That's what we should be responsible for. To speak and be true to the message that God has given us. Think about that. You can start building up and get to the right doctrine and you feel responsible. You feel, what's the word, a part of. And it's a part of you. Paul says, I've not become apprehended, but it's apprehended me. Follow me? You know, you can grab a hold of this and be apprehensive, if I said that right, or the Word can, or this assembly and church can get a hold of you and you want to be a part of it. You want to be here. You want to be this. You want to be that. You know, every time the door's open, I try to be here. Have you seen this place a little bit this morning? It was like a big puzzle in here. You know, and it was nice to come in here and be able to rearrange some things, and then I couldn't find the milk, the little containers. I'm like, oh my gosh, how can we have church? No, just But it was in the fridge. I was blinded. But anyway, look, we're responsibility. The souls of men are God's business. If you stay true and faithful to the message, God will, through the message, save souls. You know how many times we talk to these people and we share the gospel and we really get mad. Don't you just understand this? It's right here, it's black and white. No, that's what you said. You know, no, don't. You know, just back off. It's hard. You know, back off, Jack. You know, there's bumpers. You know, I don't know if you've ever seen that, but, you know, got two guns. You send me Sam. And he goes, you know, the thing is, you know, just relax and let the Word of God work through you and to them. And if they're a studier, if they understand some scriptures, they make it clear, like that people I was talking about earlier, the young ladies, and when I said God's at peace in the world, He's not in peace, they like started, I said, but think about it. And they lightened up a little bit. They knew some scriptures, you know, and it started settling down. I didn't change the subject as much as I wanted to change gears and get out of there because, you know, you're amongst a wedding group. But I was bold, you know. I was a preacher there, so they had to look at somebody. Look, if you want to please God and be a good and faithful ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ, then you must proclaim the gospel of the grace of God. You know, if you want to know what God's will is, you want to please your Father. How many of us want to please our Father? Yeah. How many still want to please their Father even though they're not around? You know what my dad would think right now? Boy, he'd roll over in his grave if he knew Ed was up here preaching grace. Or would he be thankful? Praise God, hallelujah. But there's only one Father that I need to be pleasing today, and that's Abba, Father. Amen? That's who you are today. And that's how when you understand, when you trust that Christ died for your sins, He bought you. His blood purchased you with substance. He bought you. You're no longer yours. You know, that's hard to swallow sometimes. You know, because I'm a man. You know, I'm going to step up here and do what I want to do type of thing. And, you know, you can do that too. You know, honestly, don't sit there and just snigger at me. Yeah, just joke. But look, then you proclaim. Now, if God has given you a message to guard and protect, then this means they are what? Enemies out there. They're really, truly enemies of this gospel. And I tell you all the time, the friends that you thought you had when you was over in these big mega churches and stuff like that, that loved you and cared for you and know who you are and all that stuff, where are they at now since you started standing for truth? And I'm not just talking about them enemies. I'm talking about there's enemies of Satan's ministers and stuff out there, the unsaved people out there. They'll attack you on one side up and down the other. There's institutions out there are teaching that God don't exist today. And you know something? Many of us has paid for our kids to go there. Yeah. I don't know if anybody goes to the Ohio State, but we had one go to Virginia Tech. And she just denies that God, you know. Yeah. I have to remind her who she is in Christ through the Word. And once you get that down inside of you, it never leaves you if you tap into it. Follow me? You can deny all you want to deny, but that's why, praise God, it's a faith of Jesus Christ. And not the faith in Jesus Christ, as some version changes that. Because if I hit my head and have amnesia, I can forget who I am, and I can forget who I'm in. And you know for a fact that this is possible. But that's why the faith of, it's His faithfulness that keeps us and seals us and, you know, delivered us. Praise God. Amen? Look, and there out there, there's enemies that would attack and what we are to keep, that satanic policy of evil. You must maintain the integrity of Paul's gospel. My gospel. I think about that all the time. My gospel. I've got a gospel. It's not Matthew, Mark, Luke, John's gospel. It's not Moses' gospel. It's not Jeremiah or Isaiah's gospel. Do they have gospels? Think about it. Every bit, you better believe it was good news. Gospel means good news. They had good news. Then we looked at the fact that how to pervert the gospel. And what do we say about Galatians chapter 1? Go to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. You know, we talk all the time about how we present ourselves, and you know, we don't hit nobody with a Mack truck anymore, or we hit them with a Volkswagen, you know, or a wheelbarrow,
or a Bible.
There you go. But look what Paul did. Paul established this. Was it 10 churches he writes to? He writes 13 epistles. He writes to 10 churches and 3 men, or 7 churches and 3 men. That's what it is. He established Galatia, a church in Galatia, by faith, grace through faith plus nothing else. And verse 6 through 9, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Who called the Galatians into the grace message? Or Paul. I'm so soon. Have you ever done that? I've witnessed and we all have shared the gospel and brought them into the gospel. Remember we looked in Corinthians about espousing you? You was born out of that type of thing. When you share the gospel with somebody and they get saved, you actually brought them into the gospel. But look, which is not another, but there should be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of what?
Christ.
But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be a... Are there other gospels out there? Do you know if an angel from heaven, if I read that correctly, if an angel from heaven comes down in a dispensation of grace of God that starts preaching another gospel, he's supposed to be accursed? I'm not supposed to. And you know there is an angel that comes down over here and has an everlasting gospel? See how this could be confusing and stuff? But no sooner than Paul established church, they was being perverted. They was being turned to something into... That means to turn something into something else. Counterfeited. How many people know there are people out there counterfeiting the gospel, the grace of God right now? Every day.
Everlasting gospel. Another everlasting gospel.
He preaches an everlasting gospel.
Who does?
An angel from heaven in Revelation comes down and preaches everlasting gospel. Okay? The fact that there, you know, the times, the fullness of the dispensation of times, it's everlasting when it's fulfilled. But let's keep moving here. Look right here. Who's a counterfeit in the garden? Okay, when God created one religious system, and that was through Israel, and it was backing of the law. Okay, the promise, the law fortified the promise. That's what this top line represents. If you're looking at it, okay, if you have your right division chart, just think of one right here, if you will, running right alongside that, counterfeiting exactly what God's doing. That's Satan. He counterfeits. Okay? I was told, and I don't know this to be true, I guess I should say it is true if I was told, that when you study money, like if you're an FBI or something like that, when you study money, you study the real thing. You feel it, you touch it, you taste it, you smell it. You study the real thing. That way when a counterfeit comes along, if you study this King James Bible, which I believe to be the Word of God for the English-speaking people, okay, to me it is the real thing, not Coca-Cola. It's the real thing. And I study it and I handle it. I have one certain Bible that I use. Okay? And I know where things are at. That's how I get to know my Bible. That's how I get to know God. And we'll study this in a couple weeks. How do you know God? You know Him as your Lord and Savior, but you really got to know God. But you get to know this Word. If I go over to Barb's Bible and look at it, I'm stumbling a little bit. You know, like, I know it's there because it's the Word of God. So I know that way. But I know this Word and know where certain things are at, that if you give me a perverted version, if you will, I know what it's not. I know it's not this. And that settles it for me. Now, me and you might go down around in the room or, down the store and back again. But it's still, you're not going to change my mind. It's forever settled. So you're not going, the counterfeit is not going to affect me. But you need to know. And there for a long time, I've always thought, and I grew up with the King James Bible. I had no issue. Why do I want to know anything? I'm already settled. But you know what got me? Everybody's not like me. My wife's smiling, giggling, and carrying on. She's probably saying, praise God, hallelujah. But am I thinking? Because there's people out there that think they really have the Word of God and other versions, and they never have been brought to the fact of what the King James Bible is. So now, when I went through manuscript evidence, I'm like, oh man, this is so boring. Come on, just get some life into this thing. And I went through the class, passed the class, stuff like that, and then I realized, something, this is a big, big battlefield. And you need to know some things, and you stand on some verses that you believe to be true, and why. You don't have to have the whole Bible. Just believe what you believe and with conviction and stand on it. Perversion, the source and all. We looked at how I marvel how soon you removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Satan does not waste any time going after the Lord's ambassadors and turning them into His ambassadors. Follow me? You can be saved and start believing what God's doing, and then your mind gets tricked. What does chapter 3, verse 1 say in Galatians? O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Who has tricked you? Man, don't be surprised this stuff's going on today. It's been going on since Paul's time. He wrote about it, how people's being tricked and being converted and perverted and all that stuff. But where are you at? That's where it really matters. Don't you worry about, the person behind you or in front of you. Because if they believe the same thing you believe, they're with us. And they're with the ministry. See, that's what you look for. You settle in your heart and mind, this is to be true, and I'm standing for it. And then when you turn around, you'll see my little smiling face waving at you, standing with you, arm in arm. Because you know something? I know if I turn around, many of you right now are standing behind me. You've proven it. Through so many things, you might say, how did I prove it, Ed? You fed me when I was... No, just joking. That's a kingdom message. But anyway, I'm just saying, you're here and you're supporting.
If you don't stand for right division, then you stand against
it.
The typical preacher I hear out there giving a message, their viewpoint is they're standing against falling truth.
Stand against that. That's right. I mean, and that's hard. That's hard. Then we looked at some things about as ambassadors, we need to develop and train our ears. See, this is where Jay always goes. You train your ears and you discern the human wisdom of words of people we witness to in order to determine what they're trusting in. My wife would testify us, the ministry that we came out of, that's what we was trained to do. Train to look at what's around your neck. Train to look what's on your bumper sticker. Oh, you got a shirt. It's got a little fish on it. Yeah. Are you a part of the Bass Pro Shop? You know what I'm talking about? You look at things and you listen. Like JJ said, talking about if they're standing against the right division, if they're not for right division, guess what? They're against the right division, which Paul preaches. So guess what? When I'm listening and tuning my ears in, I don't want to be negative and everything they say, I'm just Markadoo. But I can pick out some things and walk up to them afterwards and say, hey, do you really believe that? JJ's witness when we've been with me in churches and when I went up to these big King James Bible believers that wrote all these books and all this stuff. And I asked them point blank, do you know what you trust in to go to heaven? Are you asking me? Yeah, I'm asking you because you didn't ask nobody who was in this auditorium tonight. Oh, I assumed that they was all saved. I said, you cannot assume that anybody's saved this day and time. Take me with you sometimes. I'm just joking. But anyway, I'm sure you're that way too. I'm serious. I don't. When it comes to this, man is constantly demands his rights. There's woman's rights, there's elderly rights, there's children's rights, there's human rights. That equals self. That's all it is. I demand this. Think about it. If you're an ambassador and you're in Christ, whose rights are you? What right do you have?
None.
You really don't have no rights that we think that we have rights to. Just the other day, my boss sent me out a little email saying, thank you, Edward, for what you've done. I know you do this. And I'm like, whoa, what's coming next? I'm serious. I'm like, there's something up with you. And you know what I wrote him? I said, thank you for thanking me. Because it means a lot. When somebody thanks you, just turn around and say, thank you for thanking me. You know what I mean? And that puts it back on them. Like, because you're going to learn some things about humility. Because you can get puffed up. You don't think I can get puffed up here? And the phone calls I get from you guys and the emails I get from you guys. Oh, boy, I did my day's job today. No. It's wrong because it's give God the glory. Praise God. Because when you do that, you're a part of it.
But you're his vessel that he works
through. And all of us, though.
Right.
Yeah. Up here.
Well, thank you. But if mankind got the rights, if mankind got the rights for what they deserve, guess where they would wind up at? Follow me? If we really got what we deserve, okay? Then we talked about the examples, the categories of three categories that's in the Gospels, the various Gospels. The message that refers exclusively to the kingdom and prophecy program, Israel. Okay, remember the little house that we divided house, what we called it? Yeah, duplex. There you go. The duplex. And one side of the... there's a house on one side and it has to deal with prophecy, which is the gospel of the circumcision. And that's Galatians chapter 2, verse 7. Go there for a minute. Go there for a second. You're in Galatians. Go Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, verse 7. But contrariwise... Oh, contraire. Get that? When they saw the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, go down to verse 9. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, what grace was that? That was given to Paul. The grace message given to me and Barnabas that the right hand of fellowship that we should go unto the heathen and they unto the... Okay. That verse right there will change your world. And change a many people's if they believe it. Now I know what these other versions says. Same as Peter. That's an error. Because that's what they believe, that the message that Peter, James, and John preached and Paul got, and they got together, Paul continued that message of the circumcision. But he goes on to say somewhere about the fact that if I preached circumcision, why does, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 11, he says, "And brethren, if I preach circumcision, why do I suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased."
Are you saying that Peter, after he met with Paul, then started preaching, he still kept the same kingdom message to the Jews?
Mm-hmm.
He never changed that.
Okay. He didn't have the...
That was his charter.
That was his commission, yeah. That was his charge. That was what he... He came... here's what thing. When they met and they shook hands, and then when Peter wrote 1st and 2nd Peter over here, he has more understanding of what Paul and God's doing through now, because the kingdom is postponed. That message of the kingdom, the good news that God was setting up a kingdom on earth through Israel, is postponed. So now Peter can go back to the ones that he brought into the kingdom message with Peter, James, and John, all that little flock. See, it is my Father's good pleasures to give to you the kingdom. That's this little flock, because of the whole nation Israel was where? That's right. They didn't believe that. And that's what they preached. What shall we do? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Right? That's what they did. No, they had to continue, yeah, be baptized, be identified with what this little flock was doing. And that little flock was moving and doing exactly what God planned to do until they stoned Stephen. And when they stoned Stephen, that put a hole on that program. And he raised up a blasphemer, an injurer, a murderer. That was unheard of, people. I don't know if you really, really think about that. You'd be right here, you couldn't be saved. Remember what he said? If you blaspheme against the Son of Man when he hung on the cross, I'll forgive you. But if you blaspheme against the Holy Ghost, you will not be forgiven in this world or the world to come. But he raises up a blasphemer in the dispensation of grace. Holy Spirit. And that's what they did when they stoned Stephen. Full of the Holy Ghost.
And the blasphemer raised up a sin right there.
Yeah, he had their coats. He was consenting. But see what grace does for us today? It can take a dead man and that's going to hell and save them. That's power. And that's through the gospel. And the gospel of the kingdom that works. Then on the other side of the duplex, you had the mystery, the gospel of the uncircumcision. There's a gospel here for you and I, and I believe this wholeheartedly. I know we're getting ready to close, and we'll pick up this next week. But listen, I believe wholeheartedly, from that passage that we read, that when they shook hands, that they're saying that anybody that did not believe the gospel of the kingdom message, the gospel of the circumcision, okay, at that time, there was heathen. Follow me? And that means Jew and Gentile. Everybody was a heathen if you did not believe that little message of the gospel kingdom. And I know we went over this and over this and over this and some things about when he says all of Israel shall be saved. Who's all of Israel over here?
The ones that were already saved.
Already saved, or the little flock over here. It's not all of Israel. Remember, you know those verses. Just don't say Abraham's your father. I can raise rocks up. Right? So you have to believe what God is doing to be part of that program.
Well, and Peter had at least a hope that he could send the unsaved Israelites to Paul. That was their only hope. Once they blasphemed against the Holy Spirit, your only hope is to go under Paul's ministry.
And that's why Paul, God told him, go to Gentiles, then to Israel, then the kings in Israel, right? It was reverse. But what does he do? He goes straight to the synagogues. Mm-hmm. Because they believe God. But they didn't believe Christ crucified.
Well, that was his kinsmen. That was the people that he was close to.
And you know, so that's what he went to get to save them. But he didn't go with a kingdom message. See, and this is what everybody else says. So that's why it's very, very important to understand right division, which you do. But it's also very, very important to be able to share that with people. Have you ever thought about this? That's how I do some people that wearing, you know, these big professor uniforms and stuff like that and walking around like I'm holier than thou. You know, I'll say, hey, have you ever thought about this? I don't try to step on their ignorance. Because once you do, they shut you down. You know, I may just be a poor little truck driver, but I do know some things. I know not to take a detour when it don't, you know, I know when to take a detour when it don't take a detour. I know how to read signs. But then on the bottom of that house, that duplex, you have the gospel God. Peter talked to gospel God. Paul talked to gospel God. That's the good news of what God's doing for both programs. And then you talk about the gospel peace. And then you talk about the gospel Christ. Peter talked about the gospel Christ. Paul talks. It's that Christ died. You can't get by. Peter did preach death, burial, and resurrection right here. It's all in that. But you with wicked hands. And then over in Acts chapter 3, preaching to the same ministry or people, through ignorance you did it. See, he's softening it up a little bit. And they said, what? You know, many of us add this phrase, but it says, what shall we do? It pricked their hearts in Acts chapter 2, like this message should. You know, you're being convicted under the grace message, and it should prick your heart and like, oh my gosh, what shall I do? You know, God is at peace with the world, but there's going to be a time if I die or something happens right now, I'm going to die and go to hell. I don't have time. That's what Paul talked about. Now is the time of salvation. Awake, arise out of sleep. We're asleep right now, many of us are. So it's very important, guys. And when what we've learned through this ambassadorship, don't take it just as a grain of salt. You know, it's very, very, because I know you have loved ones. Because I've got loved ones, and I know I've got neighbors. And the gospel Christ. Then we looked at, we'll pick this up next week, but as through that, down through our next week, we'll look, what must I do to be saved? That's what we add on to Acts chapter 2. But it don't say that. What shall we do? And Peter tells them what should they do. And then Acts 16, Paul talks about, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And just remember this in closing, that in verse 32 of Acts 16, 30 through 32, Paul explains what they must believe about the Lord to be saved.
Is it Acts what,
13? Acts 16, verses 30 to 31, or 32. And we looked at this very, very importantly, that the content of your faith is extremely important. The content. What do you have your faith in? And I'm hoping today that it's in the death, burial, and resurrection and in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary. That's the content of your faith. And that's where you should be resting in for your salvation. Okay? Thank you.